Morning, everyone. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. It's an amazing day. Before I get into my sermon today, I just want to pray. Just to pray. So let's pray together. God, I thank you so much that you gave us all mothers. That we are all united through that one thing, back to the very first with Eve. Thank you that we can honor them today. And I pray that you would be with me as I talk about a few mothers in the Bible today. In your name, amen. So when I found out that I got the opportunity to preach this Sunday, I was initially very excited because I was like, yes, I get to preach on Mother's Day. That's awesome. I can invite my mom down, have her come and listen to a sermon. And then I started to think about it and I went, you know, preaching a Mother's Day sermon isn't actually that easy. Because if I just focus on how amazing it is to be a mother, and to celebrate those who are mothers, I miss out on those who have lost and those who can't have children. And if I focus on those who are hurting on this day and focus on that side of things, then it doesn't feel like I'm celebrating mothers. And so as I was going through it, I was talking to Pastor James and I was explaining to him my struggle with preparing for today. He said one thing to me, and I had to include it. He said that there's one thing that unites every single person here in this church and unites us to those who are in the Bible. Every single one of us, at one point in our life, no matter how small it is, had a mother. It unites us. And so today, I want to talk about a few moms. A few moms throughout the Bible. Because if we look into the Bible, we can see that there are all different types of mothers throughout. Some that weren't able to have children. Some that were good. Some that were bad. There are mothers who hurt, mothers who lost, people that were adopted by people that they called mothers. We can see that almost every type of mother is shown throughout this book. And I was amazed when I actually started to look into it, because I'd always seen the fathers, because they're talked about more frequently in the Bible. But there's a lot of mothers in the Bible that they single out and they talk about and share their stories. So today, I have 10 mothers to talk about, and that seems like a big number, but I only talk about 5 of them in depth. But before I start, I want to repeat one of my favorite illustrations for this day. It's a poem that was written by a guy that I didn't write down his name, and now I've forgotten it. But it's just an incredible representation of mothers in general. It goes like this. Somebody said that a child is carried in its mother's womb for 9 months. Somebody does not know that a child is carried in its mother's heart forever. Somebody said it takes about 6 weeks to get back to normal after you've had a baby. Somebody doesn't know that once you're mother, normal is history. Somebody said, you learn how to be a mother by instinct, but somebody never took their 3-year-old shopping. Somebody said, being a mother is boring. Well, somebody never rode in a car driven by a teenage with its driver's permit. Somebody said, good mothers never raise their voices. Somebody never came out of the back door just in time to see their son hitting a golf ball off of a garage and hitting themselves in the face. That may be her son, not me. My brother did that. Somebody said you don't need an education to be a mother. Somebody never helped a fourth grader with his math. Somebody said you can't love the fifth child as much as you love the first. Somebody doesn't have five children. Somebody said a mother can find all the answers to her child-rearing questions in the books. Somebody never had a child stuff beans up their nose. Somebody said the hardest part of being a mother is labor and delivery. Somebody never watched her baby get on a bus for the first day of kindergarten. Somebody said a mother can stop worrying after her child gets married. Somebody doesn't know that a new son or daughter-in-law just is another one of their kids. Somebody said a mother's job is done when her last child leaves home. Someone never had grandchildren. Somebody said your mother knows you love her, so you don't need to tell her. But somebody isn't a mother. So today I'm going to talk about mothers throughout the Bible. And I need to start at the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 3. The first mother, Eve. Now, oftentimes when people talk about Eve, they talk about the fact that, yeah, she is the mother of all the living. In fact, Genesis 3 verse 20 says that he called his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. Eve literally means living. And so a lot of people, when they talk about Eve as a mother, they talk about the fact that, yeah, she birthed a lot of kids, and they grew up and were a product of that. But there's a part of Eve's story that isn't often talked about. The fact that, being the first mother, she failed. It's a story of loss and not being able to control your kids. She had two kids in the beginning, Cain and Abel. And they were very different kids. Cain, who was her firstborn, grew up to be a farmer, tilling the fields and bringing in the harvest. Whereas Abel, her secondborn, was a shepherd, bringing meat. And one day, both Cain and Abel were bringing a sacrifice to God. Cain took a few of his harvest, some of them, and brought them before God to sacrifice them. And Abel went and found his best goat. And he brought that before the Lord and sacrificed that. And God, looking at both of their hearts and seeing that Cain's heart wasn't fully in it, took Abel's sacrifice, but not Cain's. And Cain, being incredibly jealous that God chose Abel over him, killed Cain. Now imagine what that would be like to be the first mother with no example before you, and your first kid kills your second. It was tough. But we know that Eve didn't give up. She didn't just stop having children after Abel died. In fact, it says that she had many other children. There was one in particular that was important. Seth. Genesis 3 verse 25 says, "And Adam knew his wife again. She bore him a son and named him Seth. For God has anointed another seed for me instead of Abel, who Cain killed." Eve recognized that there was a bit of a problem there. That it was sad that Cain killed Abel, but God gave her Seth. And I found it really interesting when I found out what each of their names means. Cain means acquired. Abel means son. And Seth means compensation. So literally, she acquired Cain. Abel was her son. And when Abel died, she was compensated for that death. Eve didn't give up. because of her failure. But she kept going. And through Seth, the line of Jesus was started. It was important that she didn't just stop having children after her failure. Because we know that Jesus was the one that would save us all. Now, in between these two stories, the first one being Eve and the next one being Jochebed, I have a little bit of a joke. Motherhood is hard. And I saw a comic once with a therapist and a obviously frazzled mother. She was lying down on bed. Her hair was a mess. There was like a toy sticking out of it. She just looked at the end of her ropes. And the therapist looked at her and said, "I think I know what your problem is. You spend 50% of your time on your job, 50% of your time on your significant other, and 50% on your kids. That might explain it." Motherhood isn't easy. And sometimes things can look really, really bad. Take, for instance, the next mom, Jochebed. Now, when I say Jochebed, there's probably a few of you going, "Who is that?" Jochebed is the mother of Moses. Her name is only put into the Bible once in the entirety of Exodus, in the entire account of telling the story. It's mentioned once. But Jochebed had a hard time as a mother. Kind of. This is a story of adoption and surrogate mothers. So I'm going to get us all to turn to Exodus chapter 2, verses 2 to 10, as we read the story of Jochebed and the Pharaoh's daughter. Exodus chapter 2, verses 2 through 10 says, "So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrew's children.' Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women so that she may nurse the child for you?' And the Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages.' So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew. She brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called him Moses, saying, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" Now, this one is a fun story because it includes two different mothers. We have Pharaoh's daughter, and we have Jochebed. Jochebed had a problem. When she bore Jesus, or Moses, not Jesus. When she bore Moses, she had a choice. Give her up, give him up to the authorities and let him be killed, or hide him and try to let him survive. It was rough. And so she tried hiding him, but eventually it got to the point where he was getting too big, and she knew she had to do something. So, trusting God, put him in a basket and put him in the water. And Pharaoh's daughter found him. And she adopted him as her own, even knowing that he was a Jew and that he should be killed. Because it's really hard looking at a baby, seeing it crying and saying, "Yeah, it should be killed." So she took the child, and realizing that she wasn't able to wean the child properly, She looked for someone who was able to do that. And it just so happened that there was a mother nearby that had just recently had a child that was about 3 months old that could wean the child. And so Moses, by God's grace, was put back in Jochebed's care and was raised by his actual mother for many years until he was old enough to go and live with the Pharaoh and be adopted. And as the story goes, Moses continues to grow up, and he had a choice. He had two mothers. He had his mom that was a Hebrew and his Jewish side, but he also had riches and glory being the Pharaoh's daughter. But Moses didn't care about that. He cared about his heritage. And so he gave up all of his riches, all of the money and the wealth and the fame that came with being Pharaoh's daughter, to save the Jews and to lead them out of Egypt. Both of the mothers were good. Jochebed was good because she raised him, taught him what it was to be a Jew. But Pharaoh's daughter was also good because she recognized that she couldn't do it alone, that she needed help. And Jochebed was that help. In the end, we know that through Moses, the Jews were given a hope. And because he led them out of Egypt, the path was laid for Jesus to come. The next mother I want to talk about is Naomi. Now, I personally love the story of Naomi and Ruth because she is just such a great mother-in-law. I've now had the opportunity of having a mother-in-law for 3 years, and it is a different experience. It's a new mom to love. And so we're going to turn to Ruth chapter 1, verses 8 through 18, which shows the story of Ruth and Naomi and Orpah, but she leaves. Ruth chapter 1, verses 8 through 18 says, "And Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, 'Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each in the houses of her husband.' So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, 'Surely we will return with you to your people.' But Naomi said, 'Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me.' Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, 'Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law.' But Ruth said, 'Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me.' When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her." Naomi is an incredible example of a mother-in-law who cared for her daughter-in-laws. She cared for both Orpah and Ruth and wanted to see them prosper. Back in those times, typically the brother would take up the mantle of marrying if one was to die. And Naomi had a rough life. She lost her husband fairly early on. And then after Ruth and Orpah had married her sons, they both also died. She was left with two daughter-in-laws and no way to marry them off. And so, wanting to go back to her people, who were the Jews, she told both of them to stay where they were, to go back to their homes. And Orpah, after one little bit of saying, no, I want to stay with you, did go back. But Ruth cared for her mother-in-law. So much so that she basically was adopted by her. She adopted her as her mom and said, no, I want everything that comes with being your daughter. I want your God. I want your people. I want to be buried in the same plot that you will be buried in. And so Naomi, seeing that she was very determined, let her come with. And the rest of Ruth is a beautiful love story about a man named Boaz coming into Ruth's life. And Boaz, being part of Naomi's family, was perfect. Eventually, Boaz and Ruth married. And they had children. And their children had children. And once again, we have somebody who is in the line of Jesus. In the genealogy in Matthew, we can see that Ruth was named by name because of her importance to the story. She was somebody who gave up everything from being a Moabite to be a Jew, to accept all of that, to praise God as her own. And through that, they had a child named Obed, who is one in the line of Jesus. The next mom that I want to talk about is the last mom in the Old Testament. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, we learn about Bathsheba. Now, the basic story of Bathsheba goes that she was really pretty. David saw her and said, yeah, I want you to be mine. And so he did. And after he found out that she was pregnant, he realized that he had a problem. So he went out and he killed Bathsheba's husband so that he could make her his own. And because of all of this sin, the Lord placed a consequence upon David and Bathsheba. They were going to lose their first child. And in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 15 and 16, we can see what happened. It says, the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became ill. David therefore pleaded with God for the child and fasted and went in and lay on the ground. But on the seventh day came to pass that the child died. Bathsheba was a mother who lost. And she mourned. She mourned losing her first child. And some accounts say that there was a name, but all we know is that the child lived for about a week before dying. And I can only imagine the pain that she went through, seeing a child, knowing it's hers, and knowing that there's nothing that she could do to save it. And after a while, David went to comfort his wife. And in comforting her, they had another son, a son that they named Solomon. Solomon means peace. And historical tradition says that it was Bathsheba that named Solomon. She knew that in her weakness of losing her first child, being comforted by David, that Solomon was the peace that she was looking for. And sure enough, once again, we can see that Solomon was in the line of Jesus. And I don't have time this morning to tell of all of the mothers that are in the Bible. I wish I did. but to tell you five quick stories of amazing mothers and some not so good. I'm going to rattle off a few quick stories about some great mothers. I don't have the time to tell of Hannah, who wanted a child so bad that she begged God for it and was rewarded with Samuel. And I can't tell of Samson's mother, who trusted God enough to never touch a hair on her child's head, allowing him to be strong. Or of Sarah, who lived 90 years without being able to have a child. And being humored so much at the Lord giving her a child that she literally named her first son Laughter. Because she honestly didn't believe it was going to happen until it did. And I don't have time to tell of some of the bad mothers, like Lot's wife, who was so focused on herself and on her things that when the Lord told her not to turn around, she did, leaving Lot and his two daughters alone. Or of Makkah, who used her position as a queen mother to reinstate cults in the land of Israel against the wishes of her son, because she thought that that was better than what her son wanted. All of these stories show us even more that the Bible has many different mothers. Enough that every one of us here can relate to one of the stories of mothers in the Bible. And the last mother that I want to talk about today is an important one. I want to talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Because Jesus himself recognized the importance of mothers. But again, I don't want to talk about what is normally talked about. The fact that Mary raised him and was a good mother throughout his life. But rather, I want to talk about the end of Jesus' life. Because there we see a perfect example for us to look at, for how we can honor mothers. Mary wasn't perfect. There was nothing especially special about her. She was young when she conceived Jesus. She was a virgin, wasn't even married to Joseph at the time. She was scared. You can see that in her conversation with the angel. But she went through with it, and she brought the Son of God into the world. And throughout her life, she raised Jesus, and Jesus loved her. So much so that when he was on the cross, injured and broken, one of the final statements that he says shows us just how much he cared for his mom. He knew how hard it would be for her watching her son die. And so as he hung upon the cross, we can see in John 19, verse 26 and 27, that he looked at John. And it says, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Jesus recognized how hard it would be for his mother, and so as he was dying for the sins of everyone, knowing the importance of everything that was happening in that moment, he looked at John and said, "Please, take care of my mom." And looked at Mary and said, "This is now your son. He'll take care of you." John, knowing the importance of this, took her in until the day that she died. and cared for her. John became Mary's son for the rest of his life. For each of these stories, we can learn a few things. Mothers, you don't need to be perfect. There's always a second chance. And there are many examples of mothers who are worse. Mothers, you're allowed to mourn those you have lost, whether that is your mother or your children. And fathers, we need to be there for them, for those that are hurting on this day. Mothers, you can make mistakes and learn from them. Mothers, you can take everyone in and treat them like your own. Each of the examples that we looked at today showed many different mothers of a variety of lifestyles. And the Bible has so many more. We can relate to them in that because we all have mothers. And so let us take the example of Jesus and take the examples of David and Ruth. And let us be there for our mothers this day. Let us honor them. Let us thank them. And wherever we are in our lives, let us be thankful that we have mothers. Let me pray. God, I thank you for mothers, for the care that they give. And I pray that we can see that we are no different than those who are in the Bible. We can relate. Let us know what to do and how to honor those that are around us today. Honor those mothers. In your name.